call the meeting to order, and we do have a quorum. And so I would like somebody to move the minutes of the January 22nd meeting first.
So moved.
So moved. The Representative Holberg moves approval of the minutes of January 22nd as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say no. I also need someone to approve the minutes of January 28th.
So moved.
Representative Hillstrom moves the minutes of January 28th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. With that, we're here to listen to House File 392 today. So Representative Lincheski, if you would present the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 392 as amended, and I believe the motion is to the General Register. So, Mr. Chair, if I may, and I spoke to you before the meeting that I'd asked Ms. Cadoon to join me, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Revenue, to just, in case there are questions or just to talk about her perspective on federal conformity. So I'd just like to begin by just reminding members that the last 2 years in the legislature, what we did early in session is we passed federal conformity, which allowed us to conform to changes to the federal tax code here in Minnesota. In both of those years, we were not able to afford to conform to everything, and that is the case here today. We are not able to conform to everything at this time. Full conformity, I believe, costs about $80 million a year for the state of Minnesota. What we are trying to do is to conform to what we can afford to conform to. And the way we're attempting to do that is some of the changes in the federal that Congress has passed actually raise money for the state of Minnesota if we conform. The only way to get that money, of course, is to do federal conformity. So what we're trying to do here is to take as many of the tax conformity changes we can, about $15 million worth, by taking the money in 2010, 11, 12, and 13, and moving it into 9 so that we can provide these tax benefits to our constituents in the tax code. When we were through taxes, we had one version that I had introduced on behalf of the department, and then we had an amendment to try to move more money into the current year so that we could do more conformity. At that time, we did not know if the governor supported that, and Ms. Cadoon can tell us where the governor is now on the bill ahead of right before us today, where we added that amendment. But just for simplicity, and this bill is not simple, but trying to make it simple, some of the things that this bill, if we pass it and get it signed quickly by the governor, is what we can benefit Minnesota taxpayers with is a few key items. There's lots of small items, but some of the bigger items is we can pass on the teacher expense deduction that allows our teachers in Minnesota to receive a tax preference when they purchase things for the classroom. We can also allow for those who are 70 and a half and older to do direct transfers from their IRAs to charities without paying higher taxes because of it, and that's a benefit to both those seniors and to charitable organizations. We additionally can assist in contributions of conservation property by farmers, and we can also help our combat pay veterans receive tax benefits by the way they count their income for purposes of qualifying for other Minnesota tax benefits. And then there's a host of smaller corporate benefits. And so if you want to get into the details, Mr. Chair, we have staff here who can go page and line. Very technical bill, and we can certainly walk through the summary with that. But those are kind of the big pictures. Again, the bill is paid for by taking the revenue it would raise in the future, moving it back into the current year. Since we have no money this year, there's no way to pay for it except by taking these revenue raisers. And the way we're able to afford this, the timing issue, is we're going to delay the corporate refunds that are held by the Department of Revenue for just a short period of time, and then the refund is let go in time to let the money accrue. So if we miss the certain amount of days that we have to follow by the Department of Revenue, that we have to pay interest on those, so this would be an attempt to limit the amount of interest the Department of Revenue would pay out as a result of delaying the corporate refund. With that, Mr. Chair, I'm available for questions.
All right. Thank you, Representative Lincheski. Beth Cadoon, from the Department of Revenue, why don't you tell us what you have to tell us about the bill, please.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good morning. Thank you for hearing House File 392 bright and early this morning. The department is supportive of federal conformity. I'll mention what Representative Winchesky mentioned for the governor's perspective on this bill. The governor did include federal conformity in his budget recommendations, which is basically the same package that you see today. Probably one of the biggest differences is that the governor did not have the corporate refunds delay in his budget recommendations. So it was just shown as a revenue loss in 10 and 11 and a revenue gain in 12 and 13. My understanding, though, the bill in its current form is acceptable to the governor, kind of dealing with less than ideal time. So it really is the benefits of doing the tax provisions early in session kind of outweigh any cons of having to delay for a short time period some of those corporate refunds.
All right. Thank you very much. Are there any questions for either of our testifiers? Representative Holbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Winchesky. These corporate refunds, are they new refund or new revenue going back to corporations, or is it an existing program that now we're putting the burden on the business community to delay getting their money in order to spend the money somewhere else?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Holberg, it is an existing situation, but a large beneficiary in this bill is defined our corporations. There are many tax benefits and tax expensing situations that they will benefit by if this bill is signed into law. So, you know, it's not the situation where corporations are being asked to delay a refund a little bit so that individuals can get tax breaks. There are individual tax breaks in here for sure, but there are corporate tax breaks in here as well. And this, but to directly, is this a corporate refund that's going on now in current law? Yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. Representative Bunn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One is a question regarding clarification. You'd mentioned that this conformity does include teacher expenses in the classrooms, but on our House research summary, it says just the opposite, that it's one of the federal changes that wouldn't conform. So I just wanted clarification on that one. And secondly, on the corporate delay in corporate refunds issue, if you could state the dollar amount involved, because also in the governor's proposal is a number of different business tax decreases that amount to some, well over a couple $100 million over the next 2 years. In combination, so I'm wondering why we would just wouldn't balance out with those new programs as opposed to pulling back on something we're already doing.
Representative Winchesky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Bunn, and you are absolutely right. We have now determined that we have the wrong summary here.
Oh.
We have the summary as the bill came before the tax committee,
okay,
before the DE3 amendment that took place in taxes, which there was an A1 and an A2, and the A2 amendment offered by Representative Mullery. After some further looking, it was determined that there was enough money to pay for the teacher expense deduction, so that was added in taxes. And yes, you are right, Representative Bunn, and you are reading at 8 a.m. That's very impressive, and it says that it's not in there, but it is in fact in there. So thanks for that clarification.
Any follow-up?
The second question was regarding, given we're talking about delaying a tax credit or some payments, business tax payments that under an existing program in order to save money. I was asking how much money we were talking about there, because on the other hand, in the governor's proposal, we're talking about reducing various business taxes that would be a decline in revenue. So why not just tweak that rather than adjust an existing program?
Representative Winchesky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Bunn, I think Representative Bunn is sort of asking Ms. Cadoon as well, but I will refer to you on the revenue estimate. If you look down under the delay of corporate refunds, you can see that's the price tag, $15.7 million, and that's the money that we're gaining in the future. So we're going to delay the payment by that in a way to to kind of first in, first out, and make sure we're not asking corporations to contribute too much. But I think Representative Bunn, you're right. The governor is proposing a lot of tax benefits for all kinds of companies and sectors in the economy, and I wouldn't speak for him as to why he might find this version or a different version, but maybe Ms. Cadoon.
Ms. Cadoon, go ahead.
If you for the several conformity bills in front of you. There's many provisions dealing with the corporate, that benefit the corporate tax filer. Many dealing with expensing provisions, depreciation, so basically some permanent tax benefits for adopting. Typically, the business community has been in favor of federal conformity because it really adds a lot of complexity to their tax returns if they have to keep two separate books for federal and state, especially dealing with depreciation expensing, which can continue basically for 39 years if they have to carry two separate books for these provisions. So they have some permanent tax benefits, and just how you get there by adopting it early, because it does impact the current filing season. So we're dealing with calendar year 2008, that people are going to start filing now. So to get that benefit for the current taxpayer filing season, you have to then do a short-term delay of corporate refunds. Less than ideal tool, but my understanding is the business community would rather have federal conformity at this point.
Can you follow? No? Representative Abler.
I think they have two. And I don't live in the tax world, and I'm not going to ask any complicated questions because I probably can't. Just two global ones. Does this increase the deficit in the outlining and even in the one we're going to have to budget for?
Representative Chesky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Adler. The sheet to look at that I think was passed out just now, it's like just this way. That'll show you what it's doing in the out years. And if you follow the bottom line there, the net general fund impact, you can see the first $12.5 million under 2010, and then again $12.5 in 2011. Can't believe the other out. I mean, that's the goal here, is to get the governor to sign a revenue-neutral bill. And then the same in 2012 and 2013, you're left with, you know, a revenue raiser of $390,000. So, no, it doesn't do anything to the deficit and gives us a little bit of money way out in 2013.
Okay, that's my first. Thank you, Ernest. I appreciate that help. I live in the human service world, and if this was a health program, I'd be right on there with you. The second question is just a more of a procedural question. Is the Senate moving on this in just as quick a fashion, or is this going to be the vehicle that Larry's going to use to load up a tax bill and mail it back to us that looks way different?
Representative Lincheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that your party might do that first on the House floor. We'll see how that goes. And I get, all kidding aside, I have talked to Senator Bach. I know Ms. Padun has as well. I assume, but I have not had some guarantee, that they will take this up in a quick way and get it done. My personal view is, because only we can send them a bill, because this is a tax-raising bill, and then it's also paid for, they really can't act until we do. So in general, in past practice, they would wait till we, you know, can get this through the committee process and off the floor. We now have the governor saying he would sign it, so I think it's pretty difficult, just my personal estimation, for the Senate, and with the House passing it, and the governor would be willing to sign to not take it up, but I guess they would have to live with that if they made that choice, because it certainly affects hundreds of thousands of filers who would file their taxes wrong and then have to go back and amend them if we waited until May to pass this law. So can't speak for them, but I would be a little surprised. Would they make an attempt to add some things? You know, I don't know that either, but the governor, in my understanding, has not said he would sign this plus a bunch of other stuff on it. But, you know, we'd have to hear from the governor on that as well.
And, Mr. Chair, I don't actually mind if they did that. I mean, I hate to lose the filers' advantages, but maybe we should send them just a blank tax bill so they can get the discussion going earlier about what they want to do, because this is going to be a long session. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Davis. Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Lunchensky. Corporate refunds delayed, I've heard several times, and that's fine. And for a short time, what's the definition of a short time?
Representative Lunchensky.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I'd prefer to have Mr. Dune answer that question. I'm not sure in the current year. I think next year is about a two-week delay. I think in the current year it would be more than that. But if I may, Mr. Chair, if Ms. Padun could answer that.
Mm-hmm. Beth Padun.
Mr. Chair, for corporate refunds, current under the forecast currently, they're expecting about $30 million of corporate refunds to come in for April, May, and June. So how we probably process the corporate refunds currently is probably start having to hold them sometime in April or May. All of them would be released as of July 1st, that the bill says. Administratively, we're looking at how we could reprogram and do some things to do it more on a first-in, first-out basis in order to minimize any delay for the corporate filer, as well as to minimize the interest. So we're looking at how we can, like I said, reprogram to get those refunds out earlier. So I think you're probably looking at a worst-case scenario. You hold on maybe an extra 45 to 60 days. Hopefully it would be less than that.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Senator David?
Thank you.
Representative Bunn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since I'm new to Ways to Mean, I'm just trying to learn more generally. You mentioned at the outset, and this is a question kind of to both of you, that full conformity would be about $80 million a year, and made the comment that we really can't afford that. In the context of the revenue reduction proposals that are on the table with the governor's budget and the, also the magnitude of the cuts that were being made, $80 million a year is relatively small in relation to some of those other things, and including to the other revenue reductions on the table. So to both of you, why would the other types of revenue reductions being proposed be more important than doing full conformity or maybe making some other kinds of adjustments to the budget in order to do this? What is the argument against doing this versus those other kinds of things?
Who wants to take that one? Representative Lincheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Bunn, and I'm looking for the list of what's not being conformed to, but I'll, just to get to the to answering the question, this is an attempt to grab the revenue raisers. There are other federal conformity provisions that will not raise money for us ever in the future. They're going to continue to cost us. Some of the federal conformity issues actually raise money for the state in the future, so we're selecting the ones that are raising money, bringing them back so we can do as much conformity as we can. Either many of the provisions are zero, and then others cost small amounts of money, but we're trying to affect as many property tax returns for Pay 08 for people who are filing now. I think the governor, well, I know the governor has already proposed more conformity than this. In his May, you know, we're in the May tax bill range and in the April tax bill range, we're going to see a debate on more. And I think everybody here in both parties will have different ideas about what is affordable to conform to. In the past, 2 years ago, I think we passed within the first week of session or first 10 days, conforming to tuition expenses being deducted for parents in Minnesota. I don't have the price tag in front of me, but we don't have the money for that. There are a number of other ones that are being contemplated that we have to decide, as Representative Bunn is rightly, you know, saying, these compete against each other. Which ones will we do? Those are just the $80 million is just for 08. We have forward-looking years, and then we have some other items that we have not conformed to since I've been here that are expensive, like the estate tax. And that is always, I think Representative Broad has a bill in on that this year to conform to that. We have Section 179 expensing, which is an often bipartisan supported issue, but not able to find the money. And I believe the governor is proposing to do conformity for that. And that would all be looked at in the April-May tax bill range. Additionally, President Obama, if he is successful in his initiatives, we'll have a whole bunch of other stuff for us to conform to. He's attempting to do lots of things in the tax code, both with tax cuts for the withholding tables for most Americans and other issues that we will have to take up once again. But this bill is attempting to address filers now who, again, if we don't pass this early, you know, and every day that we don't pass it, somebody's filing a return. And then they later learn, oh, I could get this tax benefit for my IRA contribution. I didn't know that. Then they have to go in and amend their tax returns to receive the benefit. This sort of puts these tax benefits on autopilot for the person who's just filing their taxes. And most people either use a preparer or use a TurboTax or something like that. There are some people still out there, I'm sure some of you, who are using, you know, a calculator and a pencil on your kitchen table. But for many people, if they're not even aware that all these things are going on as they're preparing the taxes.
Thank you, Representative Lincheski. Any other questions? If not, Representative Lincheski renews her motion that House File 392 pass to the General Register.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. We've been told we need to do an amendment, and I don't know what it is. It must be a technical...
Well,
does anyone...
Do you have a copy of the amendment someplace?
Does anyone? It must be. Ms. Templin, do you want to tell us what it is? Mr. Chair, if I might, and I guess this hasn't been distributed. I apologize.
Can I give this to someone? This is a technical amendment. Okay, so...
Representative Lucheski, why don't you read it to us, and if it's truly technical, hopefully no one will have any problem with it.
Does anyone have this?
No.
I think, Mr. Chair, I apologize, but I think it's hard for people to vote on something that they can't see. So, if it may, to save time, if Mr. Michael can explain it to people while they're being copied. It is a technical amendment, and we do not know it was not here, so I apologize.
That's fine. Mr. Michelson, and state your name for the tape, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes, this is a technical amendment. I'm sorry, we thought it had been given to the committee. Apparently it was not. The main part of this amendment, there are two parts of this amendment, really. One is that, as Representative Lincheski indicated during the consideration of this bill in the tax committee added back in the teacher classroom expense deduction. And when that amendment was drafted, it was drafted hurriedly during committee. There's a couple cross-reference changes and changes to make the property tax refund program consistent with adoption of that. And so the half of this amendment is sort of fixing up that amendment so that it's right. The other half is that after the department looked at this delay of refund situation, they were concerned that they may end up paying some interest to corporate filers because some of these refunds may be held. In general, there's no interest paid if the refunds are held 90 days or less, but there may be some of them because they're older refunds that could be held longer. I mean, the normal refund situation is that they're filing their tax year 08 return in March, and so long as those got paid, if they didn't file before April 15th and they got paid by, you know, early July, by July 15th, there would be no interest. But the department's concerned that there could be some interest, and they're estimating that could be up to $50,000. And so the transfer between the two bienniums is adjusted to reflect that. And then finally, it adds some comfort language to say that the department, the current practice is that refunds that relate to the prior tax year are assigned for budget purposes back to that tax year, and this just makes it clear that if they still need to count a few more dollars to make the current biennium balance, they can assign those refunds that they're actually paying in the normal course of events in July and August of this year, not the delayed refunds, but the regular refunds, that they can assign those to the current fiscal year so that it's still in balance. So that's what the amendment does. And this was language that's basically, as we looked over the bill and as the Department of Revenue staff looked over the bill, feel we need to do in order to make the bill work.
Okay. I just want to make this clear that, Mr. Michaels, you work for the Department of Revenue, is that correct?
No, Mr. Chair. I work for the House Research Department.
House Research Department. Okay, sorry about that. Are there any questions for Mr. Michaels?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Lincheski.
Existing delay strategy, here it comes. I really hope we could just take a second. I certainly wouldn't want to vote on this before people see it, and obviously you wouldn't do that, but it's important, I think, that Representative Fulver take a look at this. I don't know if Mr. Michael said that, but it does not change the price on the revenue estimate.
Right.
Okay. But I know you are counting every dollar over there, so I just want to make sure.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Fulver.
And the last sheet that was passed out, the horizontal one, you'll see the 50,000 is included in the 2010 calculations. The sheet that's here includes your amendment. So.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, in addition, the revenue estimate that the committee has reflects this amendment. The department prepared it on the assumption that this amendment would be added to the bill.
Okay. Okay, Representative Lincheski then moves the A5 amendment.
Yes, please, thank you.
Is there any more discussion on the A5 amendment? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Is there any more discussion on House File 392 before we vote on that? Yes, Representative Kahn.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and Representative Lincheski, is this total agreement with the federal conformance if it's not listed here?
No.
What about the things in the Economic Stabilization Act that were in the federal conformance?
Representative Lincheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kahn, I know we're all busy in the morning, so we had a little discussion about all the items that we're not conforming to, that we don't have the money
to. I don't see one that's listed on there, and that's the bicycle commuter allowance. Is that it? I don't see that listed, Mr. Chair.
Yes, so Representative Lincheski.
Representative Kahn's question, Mr. Michael can walk through that. I think, you know, we have to know these are 2008 conformity items.
I know, that's the one I asked.
And we're not conforming to everything because we don't have the money, but if I may.
Okay, Mr. Michael.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, yes, we are conforming to that provision. It does affect 2008. It's such a minor provision that the revenue estimate, I think, is negligible, and so that's why it doesn't show up on the front of the summary.
Thank you. It's a major provision to some people who might guess.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Thank you. Is there any other questions? If not, Representative Lincheski renews her motion that House File 392 passed as amended, passed to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
You're welcome. Do we have any announcements or ideas of when we will be meeting next?
Yes.
Representative Stolberg.
I will have one item on the agenda for Monday. I think it's at 10:30. Should be a short one. It's the deficiency bill. Should be short, maybe. There's two items on it in the deficiency bill. And then right after that, I think Representative...
Yeah, the Finance Committee will convene immediately after, so both committees will meet Monday morning.
Okay, something for everyone to look forward to. If there's no other business, meeting adjourned.